Welcome to the First Church Orlando podcast. Here you will find recordings of weekly sermons, devotions, interviews, and seminar recordings from the First United Methodist Church of Orlando. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Our scripture reading today actually is based on the same passage of the song you just heard, Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Those who honor the Lord, who adore God's commandments, are truly happy. Their descendants will be strong through the land. The offspring of those who do right will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their houses. Their righteousness stands forever. They shine in the dark for others who do right. They are merciful, compassionate, and righteous. Those who lend generously are good people, are those who conduct their affairs with justice. Yes, these sorts of people will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. They won't be frightened at bad news. Their hearts are steady, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are firm. They aren't afraid. In the end, they will witness their enemies' defeat. They will give freely to those in need. Their righteousness stands forever. Their strength increases gloriously. The wicked see all this and fume. They grind their teeth but disappear to nothing. What the wicked want to see happen comes to nothing. The Word of God. For the people of God. And so, Lord, would you today teach us from these ancient words truths, meaningful lessons we can apply to ourselves today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a church in San Diego, California, called Christ the King Catholic Church. It's a picture of it. You can see there's a picture of Jesus standing in front. But back in 1980, vandals came along, and you may notice, knocked off the hands. Nobody knows why they did it. They just did it. The church began to wonder, like, what do we do? This is a valuable statue to them, meaningful, and how do we fix it? So they looked into different ways that hands could be recreated and reattached. But ultimately, the decision was to leave Jesus hand-free, handless. And they put a sign at the base, you may notice it says, "I have no hands but yours." One's in English and one's in Spanish. "I have no hands but yours." That's based on a longer quote from a 16th century Catholic saint by the name of Saint Teresa of Avila, who said, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands. No feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body." It actually reminds me of another quote that goes something like this: "Be careful how you live. You may be the only Bible someone ever reads." You get the gist, right? The idea is that we are the representatives of Christ in the world. But even that word, I think, that we represent is less than what we're actually called to be. There is a deeper spiritual, mysterious truth at work here. Somehow, in some way, just as Jesus in his human life and his flesh somehow incarnated God in his being, we believe that somehow in us, in our flesh, Jesus is incarnate today. He's present. He's active in each one of us. So people may wonder, where are the hands of Christ now? Well, look at your own. Look at your neighbor's hands. Where are the arms of Christ that are welcoming, reaching out, offering people a safe, loving place. Look at your own. Where is the heart of Christ beating with compassion for the world? Maybe feel the one in your own chest and feel how it beats. Where is the prophetic voice of Jesus today calling out for justice? Maybe listen to your own. Where is the generosity of Christ today? Maybe we're called to consider our own generosity. So you just heard from today's scripture, Psalm 112, a description of somebody that's letting God work in their life. It begins with verse 1, praise the Lord, and then a kind of a concise definition. Those who honor the Lord, who adore God's commandments, are truly happy. Those who honor the Lord, who adore God's commandments, are truly happy. Then, if you were paying attention, the psalm kind of gives us one after another kind of a description of what happens in a life like that. It says they have blessed offspring. They have a reputation for mercy and compassion and righteousness. They are generous and just. They're never shaken by difficulties. They're not frightened when they get bad news. They stand steady and firm. They're unafraid when difficulties arise. They triumph over their enemies. Sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? But also, I think, is meant to sound a lot like you and me. The line that stood out to me, the reason we chose it for today, is verse 4. It said simply, they shine in the dark for others. People like those described in Psalm 112, they shine in the dark for others. That's the CEB version. The NRSV version says, they rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. Isn't that a great phrase? They rise in the darkness as a light for the upright. It reminds me a lot of when Jesus said, you are the light of the world. This is the voice version of Matthew 5:14-16. It says, you, beloved, are the light of the world. A city built on a hilltop cannot be hidden. Similarly, it would be silly to light a lamp and then hide it under a bowl. When someone lights a lamp, she puts it on a table or a desk or a chair, and the light illumines the entire house. You are like that illuminating light. Let your light shine everywhere you go, that you may illumine creation, so men and women everywhere may see your good actions. May see creation at its fullest. May see your devotion to me, Jesus, and may turn and praise your Father in heaven because of it. So today, obviously, we're talking about light. We're talking about being the light of Christ in the world. The actual name for today's sermon is refract. I'll talk more about what that means in just a moment. Refract, as in the way light is refracted when it hits a prism or a crystal and it shines differently, right? The light is dispersed differently. Sometimes it actually is dispersed into a different spectrum of colors, right? Refract, that's the idea today. It's part of our series, Refresh. Notice the R-E prefix in all these words. Refresh, we mean as in that symbol on your computer that when you need to update the internet information, bring up the most recent data, you can hit refresh and now you're up to date, up to the minute, right? In the same way, sometimes we need to refresh our lives, especially I think when we enter new seasons of life. And we've said the start of a new school year is a pretty good opportunity to hit refresh and reconsider, are we just going through the motions or are we kind of up to date with who we want to be and who Christ is calling us to be, especially as we think about our spiritual lives. And so as we think about how we refresh, are we also thinking about the ways that we represent Christ in the world? Are we considering the way that our habits, our values, our choices, our lifestyles are a reflection of Christ or the possibility that they're more of a reflection of the influence of the world on us? Have we considered the brightness of our lights? Or are we, as Jesus said, hiding them under those proverbial baskets, right, or bowls? Does Christ shine brightly through our words, our deeds, our actions, our values, our interactions with others, our priorities as we live them out. When others observe us, when they talk about us, did you know people talk about you? When they think about us, do they notice, do they observe Christ at work in us? Author Henry Nouwen once wrote, "You and I are called to become other Christs, to be living manifestations of God in this world. God dwells in us in such an intimate way that we indeed are becoming manifestations of God's glory in this world." Many of you have heard me say I was the youth director here 33 years ago. There was a student in the youth group then named Kimberly Clark. Some of you may remember Kimberly. She gave me a note one time, just a very simple note, and it said, "When I see you, I see Jesus." That's the nicest compliment anybody's ever given me. When I see you, I see Jesus. That 33 years later, that little simple note still has a lot of meaning to me. But it has meaning to me both because it was a very kind thing to say, but it's also a pretty important reminder that others are looking at me, others are paying attention. Am I really, authentically reflecting Christ for others? You've heard me say probably countless times that one of my very strongest core convictions, both theologically and biblically, is that every single person, without exception, is made in the image and likeness of God and thus worthy of great honor and dignity. No exceptions. Saints and sinners, young and old, trans persons, cisgendered persons, rich and poor, married and single, skin tones of every shade, heterosexuals, homosexuals, Republicans, Democrats, left-handed, right-handed, citizens, immigrants, weak, powerful, go on and on. Every single person without exception is made in the image and likeness of God. Or let me make it more personal. You, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you, you are made in the image and likeness of God, and nothing can take that away from you. Author Cole Arthur Riley writes, "I don't know if God meant to confer value on us by creating us in their own image, but they had to have known it would be at least an outcome. How can anyone who is made to bear likeness to the maker of the cosmos be anything less than glory?" She's referring to you. How could you, made in the image and likeness of the creator of the universe, be less than glory? The original title for the sermon was not Refract. That came later. Originally, it was Reflect, which is similar to refract, but a little bit different. But let's talk about how we might reflect Christ for just a moment. Obviously, it's our words. It's our actions. It's our character. It's not just where we go to church. It's not just what we claim to believe. It's how we live it, our beliefs, that we reflect Christ to the world. Just as Jesus was a reflection of God, remember Paul said in Colossians 1:15 that Jesus was the visible image of the invisible God. In the same way, we are meant to be reflections of Jesus. Just as Jesus reflected God for the world, we are to reflect Christ to the world. Have you ever heard somebody talk about the parent-child relationship and say, "Well, they're just a chip off the old block," right? Or maybe not as much a compliment, but the apple didn't fall far from the tree, did it, right? That idea that somehow we, you know, are somehow resemble our parents, well, isn't that also true spiritually? That we are meant to be a resemblance, a reflection of our Creator, particularly Christ. Can the same be said of you? You're just a chip off the old block. Or is that something we need to work on? The Apostle Paul actually gives us these countless list of metaphors to remind us that in Christ we have a different identity, a different presentation in the world. Romans 8:9, he says, we are God's dwelling place. Ephesians 2:10, we're God's handiwork. Galatians 3:27, you are clothed in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 2:14, we're the aroma of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, we're members of the body of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:3, that you're a letter written from Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:16, we're temples of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:20, we're Christ's ambassadors of reconciliation. Colossians 3:1, we've been raised with Christ and seated in the heavenly realms. 1 Timothy 4:6, we're good servants of Christ. Philippians 3:20, we're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Philippians 4:21, we are the saints of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The past is gone. The new have come. You get the idea? You get the image? In the world, there is something about our lives, the way we live them, that's meant to be a reflection of Christ. Just as a mirror perfectly reflects back the image of the person standing in front of it, our lives are meant to be mirrors that reflect the person of Jesus at work through us. When was the last time you considered what you're reflecting to the world, to your coworkers, to your neighbors, to your friends? I once heard this really interesting sermon that used the same image that I'm using today, but compared the way we are meant to reflect Christ to the way the moon reflects the sun. We're a little bit obsessed with the moon, if you think about it. How many songs and poems have been written about the moon? Right. How many people think crazy things in the world happen during a full moon? How many of us talk about it when we just happen to catch, you know, one of those kind of really rare full moon kind of nights? We talk about moonlight, right? There's something very romantic about moonlight. But the whole word moonlight is really sort of an untruth. The moon doesn't make light, does it? The moon doesn't produce light. At best, the moon simply reflects to the earth the light generated by the sun. The moon can't do it itself. In fact, the moon itself is nothing but rock and dirt and dust. But when you put that big rock of dust in the right place in the sky, especially on a nice, dark, clear night, and the sun is in the right place, it reflects in the most beautiful kind of way. Just a big hunk of dirt and rock and dust circling our planet. Which, by the way, doesn't the Bible say that when God made us, God used what? Dust. The dust of the earth. In the same way, we don't generate the light of Christ, but if you put us in the right place at the right time, we too can reflect that life, even in our dusty state. And by the way, I think that's a pretty good definition of humility. Humility, remember, comes from the word, is related to the word human, which is also related to the word humus, which is the word for dirt. God creates us from the dust of the earth. That's who I am. I don't generate the light, but God created, molded us from that dust in just such a way that we can be like jars of clay holding a treasure. We may not be able to generate light, but we can certainly reflect it. It reminds me of Micah 6:8, just so simple. He's told you, human one, what is good. What the Lord requires from you, to do justice, to embrace faithful love, to walk humbly with your God. We so overcomplicate religion. And it's as simple as that. Walk humbly. Stand for justice. Love people. And how do we do that? It's in our everyday words and actions. And they become the mirror through which the light is shared with others. So we are called to be reflectors, right, of Christ. But I want to take that image a little bit further. I've got this mirror yesterday from the garage sale. I don't need to keep it, so if you'd like to buy it, I'll give you a really good deal on it. I picked it up for today. Now, if we're talking about just reflecting the light, really all a mirror can do is just reflect back what is shined in it. Hold on, let me get right here. Right? Just whatever you shine in it is what it shines out there, more or less equal, right? Well, that wouldn't be bad for us to be reflections of Christ so the world could see Christ as Christ is. But I want to try a different image. Our title of this message isn't reflect, it's refract. And sometimes when a light is shined through a surface that refracts, it creates something else, completely different, right? Are you and I called just to reflect, just to be that same image, or are we called to let Christ do something more in us, right? What if the unique people that you and I are, the unique image and likeness that God has made in us, brings a different beauty and a different quality in the world? And let's take that even further. Like, some of you know about diamond ring. Like, if you want to go to the store today to buy a diamond ring, there's different cuts, right? There's princess cut, and there's emerald cut, and there's square cut, and there's round cut, and diamond cut. There's different carats, there's different qualities, there's different colors of diamonds, each one reflecting, sparkling, dispersing the light of Christ in the world in different, unique ways. One thing to reflect the light of Christ, but what if when we're most authentic to who God created us to be, when we're most committed to letting Christ shine through us, that there's actual a different kind of sparkle, a different kind of shine, that Christ most sparkles in the world when he most authentically sparkles through you and I. Now let me be clear. I'm not talking about some kind of like fake piety that sometimes Christians are accused of. I'm not talking about putting on some kind of fake spiritual facade or trying to pretend that we're more saintly than we actually are. Some authors use the term false self. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about living a double life where we act one way at church and different around other people. What I am talking about is being as honest as we can, as being authentic, about intentionally seeking and allowing Christ to dwell in us, about sincerely desiring to honor Christ with our lives as authentically as we can, in humility, without pretense. Author Cindy Bergeau says this, it's interesting. So much of what passes for originality is simply trying to be different. However, being original doesn't mean trying to be different. It means being connected to the origin. You can't be original by trying to be original. You become original by staying true to what your heart sees. You're not the light. You're not the light. I'm not the light. And that's a relief, isn't it? The pressure's off. We don't have to conjure that up. We don't have to try harder to shine brighter. We're not the light. We just simply have to make ourselves available to the light. We simply have to connect to the source, the origin of the light. Are you connected? Are you refracting? Or are you unintentionally, am I unintentionally reflecting values, behaviors, choices that look a lot more like the world than Jesus? Are you refracting? What are you refracting? Let us pray. So Lord, shine your light on us. Shine it from us. May the world see the great beauty of who you are and who you've created to be through us. Help us to consider, Lord, what we're reflecting for the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast and that you will listen again in the future. If you enjoyed today's message, we hope you'll subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform and share it with others on social media. For more information about First Church Orlando, please visit our website at firstchurchorlando.org or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If this podcast is a valuable resource to you, we invite you to give to this ministry by making a financial contribution at firstchurchorlando.org/give. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.